I'm Stephanie Weinstein, and I became a foster parent because from when I started 12 years ago, there's always been a great need here in the state of Florida for abandoned and abused and neglected children. Some parents just can't keep the children in their home for safety issues or other issues, and it's better that they reside in a foster home so that the children can be safe. The advantages of becoming a foster parent are that you can truly change a child's life. Let's say the child never gets removed and never knows another life that's out there, what it's like to not grow up in dysfunction or abuse, abandonment, or neglect. Even living conditions for some children are very hard, and then they're given those opportunities that they might not have necessarily been able to have in their own home.
When you decided to do this, not only what motivated you, but I'm sure you and your husband spoke at length about this before making this decision. What kind of thoughts went through your mind? What kind of considerations did you have?
We had two very young children at the time, and I was actually approached by somebody that was a foster care person out of Osceola County. And I said to myself, both me and my husband, we had very good jobs. We have a very nice home. And the first and foremost thing is that I thought about is that we were very good parents to our own children. And I said, because I do work in the foster care industry, I said, you know, there's just a really need for people who are going to stick by the kids no matter what. And that's when we started 12 years ago. We took the MAP class and got our first foster care child about a year later. Kids come into foster care with a complex sometimes of problems, even at very young ages. Some could be health concerns that have been untreated, and it would be very time-consuming, medical issues for the children. Children that are abused by their parents have emotional problems, sometimes mental health issues, obviously behavioral problems. Some of the kids that we get into care are very, very behind educationally because of the neglect.
But we often hear stories about foster kids that bounce from home to home, and yet you say one of the primary things you need are families will say, we're there.
Committed.
Committed, good or bad.
Good or bad. And that means when your agency calls you for a child, you need to really think about it. You need to think about vacations. You need to think about every aspect of your life. Your job. How are your own children doing in school? Why was the child removed? So that you can have some kind of idea prior to the child coming to you so that you can devote the time and energy into that child. It is a full-time job. And when I mean stick by a child, I mean from when the child is sheltered into foster care to reunification or adoption goal until that child has permanency. And sometimes that can take up to 12 to 16 months.
And having that permanency is the ultimate goal?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whether it be that the foster family adopts a child, rather that the parents work their case plan and go back home with their parents, whether the child goes to an aunt, uncle, or grandparent, a family, or relative. And those are very, very important that we as foster parents see those children through those transitions and never give up on them.
You've said that there's a lot of benefits to being a foster parent, but the most of those benefits are emotional or psychological or fill your heart.
Yes.
But what about financial? I mean, does this bring any benefits to you?
Financially, you get between $14 and $18 a day on average. Different counties pay different amounts, depending, I'm sure, on their budgets and different things that go on. But financially, no. It's not a monetary reward.
When we think of not a monetary reward, what's going to happen when the state of Florida and other states that are in severe financial circumstances right now, with all the budgetary cuts, is this a threat to those who are in the foster care program?
Yes. I mean, ultimately, it can put our kids further at risk with their families if we do not have the funds to have protective service worker goes out and have the counselors and have the services in place for the foster care children. Yes, it puts them more at risk. it puts the financial burden, you know, right now with the economy the way it is, people are less reluctant to call the hotline on other families when they know that there are things going on to children that aren't okay. And it does put those children at risk.
Can you see that there's a problem, more of a problem, when there's the high unemployment?
Yes, we have gotten an influx of children.
When we talk about stress on the families who end up having to release their children or to give up their children or called in by DCF, is there also a stress on the foster family? I mean, you've agreed to take children into your home, adopted one, have a foster care child as the other, and two of your own children. That's a four-child family. That can be very stressful. Is there a stress that comes with being a foster parent?
Yes, there is. Absolutely, and that's why you need to have open communications with your agencies. Personally, our family, we go to monthly meetings. We talk about our challenges that are going on in our home. I have particular people on my case right now for the little two-year-old that I have in my home. I have people that I can kind of bounce things off of and talk about the way that I'm feeling, voice my concerns about stuff. Here in Seminole County, they make it very open-door policy. You call if you're feeling overwhelmed or if you are feeling stressed out.
So there are services provided to the parents in a foster family as well as services provided to the children?
Absolutely.
In your case, you had a foster child and you adopted that foster child.
I did.
How long was Laura with you before you decided the adoption?
2 years. We had two boys of our own, and we always knew that we wanted a girl, and I do particularly foster girls. And Laura came to us. She was very young, and when they said that the mother and the father's rights were going to be terminated, we proceeded to file our adoption home study and adopt her.
I forgot you do have to have a release of parental rights from the biological family. So that even if you fell in love with Laura, if the parents want her back, you don't have a choice. You must return her to her family.
Correct. If the courts deem it appropriate that the mother and father have completed a case plan and completed their tasks and got the help that they needed, the children are oftentimes returned. Yes.
What do you personally do when you have made an emotional investment into a child and then you have to hand that child back?
The particular case that I have right now in my home has been 9 months. So it has been a very, very long time. The child is very bonded to us. And what I start doing is I start introducing myself to the parents at the visits. Sometimes I'll bring, whether it be sandwiches for everybody or a little snack and something to drink. And when the child sees the foster parent and the parents together, there's a real sense of ease to that child.
In other words, if the foster parent is okay with the biological parent, that almost gives a stamp of approval.
That is correct.
It fosters a harmony. So
that
the child
correct.
Doesn't feel like I'm being ripped away or I'm being given to some strangers.
That is correct.
Everybody's all together on the same page.
Absolutely. And it makes a world of difference. I've worked a lot of reunification cases in my home, built great relationships with the parents. Some of our clients that we do when we remove their children, they are very violent people. And sometimes you don't have the same opportunities that you would with a family that was removed for other circumstances. So there are different levels and limits to that relationship that you could have with parents. Me personally, as a foster parent, no matter what, I would always keep my family safe, but I would always try to engage some form of relationship with the parents at the Department of Children and Families, because it is in the best interest of the child, and that's why we do this.
So you do your best to make sure that the original biological bond doesn't get split away.
Absolutely. It is nice when you build a relationship with the parents, and a lot of times I've gotten phone calls, and they say the kid is doing wonderful, or they'll send me a photograph, which is really nice to see. I have a lot of grandparents that keep in contact with me.
What about bonding with other members of the family? So in other words, aunts, uncles, cousins.
Yes. My family loves, my mom and dad are in town, and they love the foster care kids as much as we do, and it's really a loss for the whole family. But it is. It's definitely, it affects your whole family.
Well, let's move now to Laura. First of all, Laura, tell me a little bit about, do you go to school?
Yes.
What grade are you in?
Third.
What school do you go to?
Stenstrom Elementary.
When did you come to live with your foster parents, which are now your real parents?
Well, I'm 8 now, so probably about 8 years ago.
About, oh, so you came when you were a brand new baby.
Yep.
You've never known any other parent?
Mm-hmm.
I see. Do you know any other children that are in the foster care program?
Yes.
What is her name?
Nene.
Nene.
Well, that's her nickname.
And how old is she?
2.
Oh, and then she's been with you since she was 1.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she probably is not going to have much of a knowledge of anything before she became part of the Weinstein family either. Tell me about what it's like to live in the Weinstein family.
It's fun because I get to have a lot of brothers and sisters to play with.
Well, now you have 2 brothers that always are going to stay. But what about the brothers and sisters, particularly the sisters, who come and go? How does that feel?
When they leave, it's really sad.
Do you get to know them pretty well when they're there?
Yep. They're mostly babies.
And do you help with them?
I bathe Nene, like, almost every night.
And if Nene goes back to live with her biological parents, how are you going to feel?
Very sad.
Would you prefer that Nene stay at your house?
Yes.
Oh, you would? Okay. Because you've formed a bond with her and you like her a lot, or is it because she's a good kid?
Both.
Do you think that if Nene stays with you until, say, she's 5 or 6, should she be given the right to say yes or no?
Yes.
Why?
Because, well, she's the person that's going to be going to stay with her family, and if she doesn't want to go to that family, she probably won't like it.
Do your friends at school know that you're adopted?
Yes.
And how did you tell them? Isn't your last name Weinstein?
Yes.
Can you tell me why you told them that you're adopted?
Because most of them are really close friends. My mom and dad have been very open about my adoption with me.
How did it come up that you were adopted?
My mom are always mostly talking to the principal and the assistant principal and my teachers about it.
So since she'd already talked to them about it, it just seemed natural to bring it up?
Yep.
Since your friends know that you're adopted and you're very close to your friends, do you think there's a difference between an adopted child and one who's a biological part of a family?
No, because it's like the family that you live in is the family that you'll have forever, so it's like a regular family.
It's interesting to me. You look very much like your mom. Does that help, being an adopted child? Hey, nobody could tell. If we looked at it, there'd probably people come up to you and say, oh, you look like your mom. What about Nene? Does she look like your family?
No.
You have a foster sister who's African-American. Do you ever explain that to your friends?
My friends do know about her because I have a best friend that she comes with us. She goes to my house, and we drive them to school, and they pick me up, and they ride across the street, so they drop me off.
Does your friend think that this is strange, that there's this African-American sister?
No.
If it is decided that she stays with your family, will it be harder on her than it was on you to be an adopted child?
Yes.
Why?
Because people might come and ask questions, and sometimes we'll find out a way to answer them.
When you grow up and you go to high school and you go to college, when you look back on this time and look back on being adopted, do you think you'll be glad to
yes.
say that? You're one of the lucky ones?
Yeah.
You were lucky to get Laura when she was so young and she just integrated right into your family and became...
Yes.
She's no different from your 2 boys.
Yes.
Nene has come in a little bit older, not too much older, but a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a little bit more difficult in some ways for her to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But other foster families take children who are 7, 8, 12, 15, mm-hmm. can go into foster care.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think foster families develop a sense of security in a child who's come from a disruptive situation?
consistency, love, and like I said in the beginning, seeing them through till either reunification or the child goes with another family member.
So as long as you're consistent, as long as you keep loving them, sometimes kids can act out.
Yes, they can.
Mm-hmm. What do you do in those circumstances? They're disrupting your family. They're
parent them just like you would parent your own. We've taken all ages of children. In fact, last year I took in a 16-year-old young lady, and she has graduated from high school and now is in college. Yes, they do come with a lot of problems, but we stuck by her no matter what. And she is hopefully going to be very successful.
The research data shows it's going to be a hard road for her. The incidence of pregnancy, the incidence mm-hmm. of unemployment, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be there for her, even
yes.
though she's not part of your family? She's not part of the system anymore.
That is correct. She is aged out of foster care, and yes, she is still very much a part of our family. When she falls down, we assist her and help her back up like we would do any of our other children. That's one thing great about foster care. If you are truly a devoted foster parent, any child that's left my home, if they ever needed our help, I have another young lady that just moved to New Jersey to be a dean of a school. Just graduated from Rollins University here. And I fostered her baby sister. And she is 27 now and is very successful. And yes, she fell and it was hard for her, but she has become a very successful adult, very educated, and she always has us to fall back. We're her family. Just because we necessarily don't adopt a child, older children that we've had in our home, we always tell them, no matter what, you're always a part of our family. You can call us. We'll come pick you up. We'll keep in contact with you, even if they go back to their biological parents.
Why do you think that more people don't volunteer to be foster parents? I mean, it obviously has enriched your life. It's given you a daughter, if nothing else.
I think people in society today are very unaware of child abuse, abandonment, and neglect here in our country and in the state of Florida. I just don't think that people have the awareness of the needs that our children have in the community. And when you bring people aware and you explain the different programs that we offer for kids that can come into foster care, I always recruit foster parents, obviously. I would be, talking to people if I felt that they were interested in foster care.
You yourself were recruited to come in by someone who cared enough and approached you.
Someone that worked with children out of a group home in Osceola County approached us about becoming a foster parent.
And so most of the time it comes from personal contacts.
Correct.
Wouldn't you like to be, rather than people coming off the street and saying, hey, I've suddenly got an inspiration.
Correct. It is a true need here in the county and in all three of our main counties, Osceola, Orange, and Seminole as well.
This kind of responsibility, does this ever cause any problems between you and your husband?
No.
He's in this with you all the way.
He is in all the way. We're very much a team. His degree is in social work. That's what his master's degree is in. So he is very, very dedicated to the children as well as I am. He works full-time. I work part-time so that I can pick up all the extras.
Now, speaking of your work, what is it that you do for the program? You work for the community-based child care.
I do. I work for CBC of Seminole, and I am the educational liaison in Seminole County.
And what does that entail?
That entails children that become dependent through the foster care system, which means we have an order of adjudication. And immediately when they come into care, I get involved with them. And what I do is I pull their school records, and I kind of assess the situation, where they're going. If the child remains in Seminole County, I then make sure they stay at their school of origin. Children in foster care have a high predictor of having very educational struggles in their life because they move around a lot. We always try to keep their school the same here in Seminole County. We keep it very consistent for the child. If the child is in need of any tutoring services, any issues with their ESC, with their IEPs, anything like that, I go to the school and advocate on behalf of the child.
Why is it to the advantage of the school system to allow you to come in and inquire, assist, intrude, if you will, on the educational facility?
Well, because of their best educational outcome. It is a proven fact that when we have an educational liaison on board, our kids are more successful. We had 13 students graduate last year above a 2.8, children that aged out of foster care, meaning 90% of them were 13 through 18 in foster care. That is a long time to be in foster care. We call it APLA, which means that they are going to age out of the foster care system at the age of 18, meaning they have no permanent plan, either going back home as reunification is the goal, adoption is the goal, or to go with a family member. And those children, we are very, very involved in their educational planning. Absolutely.
Yeah, the statistics show that they do have an incident of not graduating from high school and certainly not graduating from college. Only 6% of them ever get a 2 or 4-year degree.
That is correct. And we are very, very focused on their education and their higher education once they leave high school. All of my foster care students do not go to a 4-year university, but a lot of them get trades from SCC certificates or they get their associate degree. And quite a few of them last year are actually at a 4-year college obtaining their bachelor's degree.
Excellent.
So, and I am obviously a foster parent, a true advocate of children here in Seminole County, and I take the same spirit and charisma onto my job as well. And I think that's why we are very, very successful.
You're part of the system as well as being an advocate in the system.
I am.
So if a parent is or a child is having a problem, you know from the inside.
I am. And the children know me.
They do.
They do.
Let's see. Do you have any idea how many foster children there are in Seminole County?
Right now, about 105.
Okay. How many educational liaison?
One. Ooh. Me.
Ooh. So you're running from school to school.
Well, I have about 68 children right now on my caseload.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Working part-time.
Working part-time.
Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate your help. And Laura, thank you,
too,
for participating. Appreciate it very much.